Beloved, beloved. What an exciting series. What an exciting opportunity to be able to gather together again with you this week. We pray that the Lord has blessed you, that things are going really well for you. But we're excited to share this with you. This is the series that the Lord has dropped into our hearts together. And we believe that we are, as John called himself, beloved disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the expectation of God on our lives is to be loved by the Lord. The surest, simplest way to a powerful relationship with Jesus Christ, the genuine discipling relationship that we all desire, is to commit to living in the love of Christ every single day with everyone, everywhere. And so it says in the scripture, and it's not accidental that it says in the scripture, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." And that's the substance of the series. We've been talking about it already for a couple of weeks, but the first thing that we really did was make a contrast that John makes between daylight and darkness. And so it's a night and day difference when we come into the love of Jesus Christ. Today, we want to talk to you about God's provision of this amazing place of protection in our lives.
So John, in chapter 2, talks about this proscription or this forbidding that he calls us to. Let me read it for you. It says, "Do not love the world." Let me say that again. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." So this first part of this passage, John is saying, you know, in modern terms, danger Will Robinson. And I think we don't realize the danger that's out there. We tend to go without thinking what we're stepping into. When I was about 7 years old, our family trip that year was going to Yellowstone. And we knew this at Christmas time. So for Christmas, I wanted a camera. Grandma was big deal. We didn't have phones then. So I got this camera and I started practicing because I was going to get the picture of a lifetime. I was going to get that National Geographic picture. And of course, as we went, we started seeing wildlife. And one particular time, as is common in Yellowstone, whenever you see a line of cars parked along the highway, you know there's some form of wildlife that everyone's stopping to see. So there was this line of cars and they stopped and there was actually a couple of, there's some moose and there's also some buffalo. But I saw a particular moose. And when I looked through my camera, I looked through that little peephole, he seemed so far away that I knew I needed to get close. And, you know, my parents had 4 kids and we ran every direction. And so they weren't having this eagle eye on me. And I just snuck up on this moose. In fact, I got within 10 feet of this moose for the perfect picture. In fact, as I'm getting ready to lift that camera up and take the click, I hear this deep, low, firm, not loud, but certainly not quiet voice go, "Richard." And I knew that's something, you know, because as a kid, when you hear your full name, Richard, you know something was up. And my dad knew that I had stepped into an incredibly dangerous situation. For if that moose would have gotten spooked, it lifts its hoofs up and starts beating you up this, I'd have been dead. I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't have went to a little rich, to a medium-sized rich, to the size I am today. It would have been done. And oftentimes, that's the way it happens in the world. We find ourselves in places and we don't think about the danger that is actually before us because there is this pull of the world. There's the things that our eyes desire. There's the things that our life desires. There's the pride of life that's constantly pulling us and attempting to get us caught into a life that never, ever advertises the bad side or the negative side of it. But it's real persuasive because the devil, he's really good at what he does. He's been doing it for a long time. The thing of it is and today he has more tools than he used to have. You know, it used to, they say, how you get the word out is you got to telegraph, a telephone, or tell a woman. Well, that's long since gone. Now you've got social media, you've got the World Wide Web, and people who never had an idea of what the way people lived in India now can get online and see all these different ways. And so the devil uses them to pull and to attract us. In fact, what John talks about, he talks about this, the Antichrist, or that which is totally opposed or totally opposite, completely different, the darkness compared to the daylight. This Antichrist is constantly trying to move us toward things and get involved in, and eventually what ultimately he's trying to do is getting us entrapped into a life that is completely opposite of who Christ is. Now, the great thing is that there is an antidote to the Antichrist.
That's a fact. There is. So God doesn't just give us the ban, the proscription, do not love the world. Because if you do, obviously the world passes away, but the person who does the will of God abides forever. And so he gives us a prescription. He gives us an actual methodology for how to overcome. And it is what John called this abiding presence of Christ, this abiding anointing. And those are probably two words that maybe you don't use a great deal. Church people use the term anointing a lot. And I don't know that they've settled on a really easy and good apt definition. It really means smearing, being covered with something, just being drenched, if you will. And I like that picture because that marries itself to the idea of God's abiding presence in our lives, that God has come to stay in us. And so I want to read this scripture because it's a tremendous place where God provides us this prescriptive way of dealing with the world and the wickedness that we are all so heir to. It says in verse 24 of 1 John chapter 2, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. There's that word, abide. Let what you heard from the beginning, your first faith, abide in you. And if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has made to us, eternal life. I love that idea, abide a while, you know, abide, stay, come and stay. This is the reality, beloved, that we really want to kind of drive home today, because this is what's going to be the prescriptive pathway that we can follow to find protection from all of the wickedness and all of the temptations that we are heir to in the world. Here's the truth. The simple truth is that God, in his love, has not come to visit us. He has come to stay. I love this truth. He is not coming just for a moment. Oh, if we could just get an outpouring of God for the moment. Oh, if we could just find the place where God is at this moment, at this time. That was the truth when Christ was on the earth. If you wanted to be with Jesus, you had to sometimes the woman with the issue of blood had to fight through the crowd to get to where Jesus was. Zacchaeus had to climb a tree so that he could get a glimpse of Jesus. You had to fight your way through the disciples who were clustered around Jesus just to get close to him. But he said, Jesus said, the good part of me going away is that while I was once with you, from now on, once the Holy Spirit is poured out into your life, I will be in you. You will be in me. It is this abiding anointing, this spiritual reality of the living, loving presence of Christ in our everyday life. And that's a beautiful truth. That is the truth that we're trying to share with you. I don't visit the house of God. I am the house of God. You are the house of God, because God has not just come to visit. He has come to stay. He has come to abide in our lives. Imagine, if you will, I'm pretty sure everybody, now that we're out again, maybe you'll be making another booking at a resort or a spa or a hotel room somewhere. Imagine those of you who've ever stayed in a hotel room, and I can just see the hands waving now. But imagine this, you walk into a hotel room and you don't like the color of the walls. And so you just decide while you're there, you're going to paint them. I think I'll just paint them, you know, just, I like black, so I'll do a black wall. And then I'm kind of into zebra, and so I'll do a zebra wall. And I know you're going, this guy is nuts. You know, we should turn this video off now. No, the reason you don't do that is because it's a hotel room. You're just visiting. You don't do that in your friend's house. You don't come in and redecorate, relay the furniture, put something in a different place. You just don't do that. Why? Because it's not your house. It's a place you're visiting. But when you're in your own home, when you paid the money, when you hold the deed, you in fact shop on the basis of what you can do to make this place your own. Now, because you understand that, I want you to understand that and apply that to our relationship with God. God has come to move into us and abide in us. We are now the temple of the Lord God. And that's why the scripture speaks of the temple being holy. It's not a place of filth and refuse. It's a place where God abides. And so as we are this household of God, as we are learning how to abide in Him and allow Him to abide in us, there are a couple of things that we want you to understand in this. And I think they're key components of how this abiding actually works. Before I get to that, I just want to say this. For every HGTV, I hope I said that right, HGTV watcher, home garden television, I guess is what it is. But here's the truth about my life. I'm a fixer-upper. I am a reclamation project. God has not found the perfect home and He's moving in because it's just what He ordered. Oh, no, no, no. Everything about my life when He sweeps in needs to be changed. It needs to be altered. It needs to be fixed because it needs to be made His own. And that's the process that we're talking about. This is the abiding. And this abiding is clearly a two-way street. It is God in me. That's really what that first faith is about, that God would be willing to come and set up shop inside of our lives. But not only is He in me, I'm in Him. He's within me and I'm within Him. And so God provides, and then we somehow move into how this is going to work in our lives. We respond to this provision that the Lord makes inside of our lives. Faith and followership. So abiding involves two different things that we want to bring to you today. The first is availability. And if you see it printed on the screen as two separate words, we intend that to be that way. Because availability is putting yourself into this for the change. It's saying yes and amen to the will of God in your life. But you are in truth availing yourself of God's ability. You don't have to become amazingly holy. The Spirit that lives in you is holy. You don't have to, oh, I've just got to create this amazing love for the people who have been bad to me and harsh with me. I have to love my enemies, and so I have to feel the warm fuzzies. No, you don't. In fact, you're incapable to do that. If you've been laboring under that, please let me set you free in Jesus' name. You don't have to do that. What you have to do is let go of a need for revenge. Let go of the darkness. Let go of the world. Let go of the wicked. And allow God's will to start to fill your life. Allow God's love to start to fill your life. Allow God's perspective of your enemies and what His plan is. Because His plan is not to kill them and destroy them. His plan is to save them and actually turn them into your friends and your brothers and sisters in Christ. So we must avail ourselves of the ability that God gives to us. Faith, followership. God provides and I respond to this provision of the Lord. And so it sounds a little bit like this. Here I am. God says, I look at this particular, I quoted it, so let me go back to it. Love your enemies, and pray for those who despitefully use you. That's what it says in Scripture. It's pretty clear. That sounds like an easy enough thing until you actually try to do it. The first time you try to do it, it sounds something like this. Okay, God, if I have to pray for them, I will. Oh, kill them. Wipe them out. Do something at least harsh and hard enough so that they'll know how bad that they've been. And make them suffer just a little bit. And we start out praying like that. And then, it's the problem is when you finish that prayer, then you go, in Jesus' name. And the Lord just sweeps in and sweetly kisses you on the cheek and says, really? Really, Rex? Is that where we're going with this thing? Well, okay, I guess I can't be harsh and hard and mean in Jesus' name. I guess I can't be vengeful and wicked in Jesus' name. So I'm going to give that up. What can I do in Jesus' name? You can pray the will of God for their life. You can pray that the grace of Christ will touch them. You can pray that the same God who forgave you of your sins will forgive them of their sins. You can pray actively and powerfully for their lives. And I will provide, while you pray, I will provide a love that you never knew for these people, a care, a forgiveness that you never had before. I will provide it. That's because he's abiding in us. And we actually see less of us and we see more of Jesus as we avail ourselves of his ability. This is what abiding is. It is this continual growing in knowing the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. It is the beloved being loved by the Lord. But availability is only as good as your willingness to experience as well this account ability. And I think that's an incredibly important part, because when you do develop a plan, when you do make a commitment to Christ, when you do hear this voice and word of the Lord and begin to be serious about availing yourself of the ability that the Lord is bringing, you're on a quest to become more and more like Christ. Less Rex, more Jesus. Less Rich, more Jesus. Less you, more him. This is what it is. He's here. And so why not let him begin to flow through my life? And so I have a plan. That's a great thing to have a plan. I'm gonna do this more. I'm going to do that less. And I'm going to start this week. Great. That's a good plan. Who knows your plan? That's just, what? Well, you mean I got to tell somebody? Yeah. And I would suggest, if your plan is that I'm going to love my spouse more, don't tell your spouse. That's not the best accountability partner that you have for that one. What you need is someone who, now I'm not your spouse doesn't love you, I'm sure they do. But here's the reality. You need someone who's going to hold you to this account, who's someone who's going to stand alongside of you, someone who actually loves you, like the Lord loves you enough in that kind of a way to be able to say, hey, how's it going? I know you made that plan. I know you're committed to doing these things. So how's it going for you? How's that working? And when you say to them, or if you're running from them, a true loving friend, a real accountability partner is going to come along and say, hey, you've been running from me. You've been hiding. And the reason you've been hiding is because your plan's not working very well. But so maybe it's a bad plan. Maybe it's not the right thing yet. But the love of Christ helps us to just look past our sins, past our failings. We look from the place of the abiding anointing of God. And so then we commit to a kind of redoing this thing so that we're going to continue to grow on in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the beauty of it. Most people are better at their jobs than they are at their Christianity for a reason. It's not because they love their jobs more than they love the Lord. It's clearly not. It's just because they're accountable. Somebody holds them to account. Somebody checks your work. Somebody makes sure you're moving forward. And so if it's important on the job, it's doubly important in the Spirit of the Lord. And that's really what brings us to this wonderful protective place. It's what brings us to this place of safety.
Right. And that is the protection, or that's the prescription that really moves us to the place of protection. Because it's, as John writes, he says, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing, and there's that word again, but the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. In our world of sensationalism, we tend to think of that word anointing as only happening on Christian television or happening in a big stadium. Reality is that when we say yes to Jesus, there's an anointing that comes into our heart. And it's that anointing that begins to teach us, begins to show us a better way. It begins to warn us of the things of the world. It warns of the things that try to pull us into that world. And there's no better place for us to be, and no better place of protection and really is when we experience that full abiding of Christ. And that's why I liked the way you talk about the accountability piece, because that is a growth factor. As we grow and the Lord says, here's what I want you to do. And then, sometimes I feel like I master the art of procrastination. I probably haven't mastered it yet because it'll get done tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to move that into my spirituality. Yes, the Lord wants me to do that. And when I bring someone else into it, then all of a sudden that anointing that is in me, it grows. This smearing of who Christ is in my life, it grows and is able to be seen by more people. It begins to make a difference in the lives that are around me. And I find myself being less tempted of the things of this world that are fading away. Now I'm more anchored in this reality of eternity that we have moved into the moment we said yes to Jesus. And so all of a sudden, when I focus more on the presence and more on his purpose, then I'm not led astray. So ultimately, we have to ask ourselves, are we going to make a choice to allow this truth to grow and develop inside of us? To the place that really I think the Lord is calling us to be traffickers of truth. Mm-hmm. The truth doesn't come from somebody on television. The truth comes from Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is in our lives. He lives in us. So when I come and I spend time, my devoted time, not to the Lord, but my devoted time to him, I should say, that I say to the rest of the day, I'm just going to focus here. Then that anointing begins to get activated in my life. And the truth of whatever's coming up today or whatever happened yesterday, the choices that are before me today, the Lord begins to talk to me about it. And he guides me and leads me into greater amounts of truth. And so I think that we all have to ask ourselves, first and foremost, is Christ abiding in us? Have we said, Lord, you can rent my space in my heart for a while, but I'm gonna want that space back? Or have we said, yes, Lord, you come and abide in me. You come and renovate my life. You come and do what only you can do. Take the availability of I've given you, but then really take the ability that you have and avail it to my life. Go ahead and change the color of my heart, change the perspectives that I have of this life. And then I think the bigger thing for followers of Jesus that is left out in so many areas of spirituality is really what Rex asked earlier, who's your accountability partner? Who is it that you can say, the Lord has been telling me that I need to spend devoted time with him. I need to spend more time praying for my spouse and my children. I need to spend more time asking the Lord what he wants from me, not what I want from the Lord. I need someone who'll come back and say, did you do that? Did you actually do that this last week? And so I can be honest and say, yes, it worked for a while, but I slipped back into my old habit. Because here's the great thing about accountability partner. If they love you, they're going to be praying for you. And as they're praying for you, what you're finding is the Holy Spirit, through their prayers, is nudging you and encouraging you along the way to remain faithful to the things that you have committed. If you're watching this on Facebook or you're watching this on YouTube and you're not part of a local church that's keeping you accountable, just message us or private message us on Facebook or send us a text on the number below or it's on the screen or an email, because we want to make sure that every person is part of an accountability group. They have someone who is spurring them on to faith and good works. And this is a great thing about the world we live in. And while the enemy uses all social media and all things, you know what? The Lord can use it too. You can be part of a group of people who are working toward an abiding life in Christ, where Christ is living in them, but it's not just a one-way street. They're saying, I want it to be a two-way street. So they really grow in Christ, and that accountability helps you in that. So Rex, why don't you pray? And then I believe that there are going to be people that connect in a new and a fresh way.
Amen. We are believing the Lord with you for his abiding presence to just absolutely grow inside of your heart and life. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we do agree together as touching our lives, our fellowships, the network that you are helping us to serve and be partnered in. But all of the ones that we're able to touch and fellowship with via this medium, we pray for each one, each precious individual, each beloved individual. in the name of Jesus, in their quest to be loved, in their opening their hearts to move away from the world and follow the prescriptive path of God by abiding in Christ and learning to avail themselves of the ability of God. We pray that each of them will find help and hope, not just in the Spirit of the Lord, but in the body of Christ, in a partner, in an accountability buddy, in someone who will share with them and rejoice with them in the continuing, abiding love of the Lord Jesus Christ. What the world needs today is not just a cure for COVID-19 or some other thing. What the world needs is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we need as the church to be filled with the glory and the presence and the abiding anointing of Christ and to become ever increasingly more and more and more like you are. So we pray, God, be glorified in each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.